Ticket City presents Why You Go to the Game to see the Georgia Bulldogs.
People were rushing the field. The goalpost came down, and I was looking for him, make sure he was okay. When he got down there, he just kind of turned around and looked up there where we were and just kind of put his hands up in the air like, yeah, I finally made it on the field, you know. But it was such a great game for Georgia to stop that streak.
Put yourself in the action with Ticket City. Visit onlineathens.com/dogbites and click tickets. From between the hedges at Sanford Stadium to the practice fields, from Stegman Coliseum and wherever else the Bulldogs are playing, it's time to talk Georgia sports on Dog Bites.
Touchdown, Dogs win it!
From the Athens Banner Herald, here are your hosts, Mark Weiser and Ryan Dennis.
Greetings. It's been a couple weeks since we did the old podcast thing. It's Mark Weiser here with Ryan Dennis.
Hello.
He's a sports editor. I'm the UGA beat writer. And we're only about a week away from spring football practice at long last. Georgia kind of on the back end of starting up spring ball, I think, compared to the rest of the SEC. I know they have, I think, the latest spring game, Ryan. But it's a busy time. We got Georgia men's basketball playing this week in Nashville at the SEC tournament. Aaron Murray and Zach Mettenberger, former Bulldogs, even Zach with his 1 year, I guess, as a redshirt. They had a battle at Georgia State yesterday. Looks like Aaron Murray and the, Atlanta Legends won?
Yeah, correct.
Did you watch that? Did you spend your Sunday 4 to 7 p.m. window watching AF with AAF football?
No, I forget that it even exists, I'll be honest with you. I gave the first game a try, but I couldn't even make it too long on that. I guess even with that matchup with Aaron Murray and Mettenberger, a local kid.
I did not watch it. I did DVR it, so I'll maybe fast forward through it. I don't know. But you know what? Here's what I like about the, AAF?
American Allegiant. Yeah, that one. Yeah.
My favorite moment has been, was it in Salt Lake City? Steve Spurrier on the sideline in like a blizzard out there. It was, you know, I was late February football in Utah. So what do you expect? But Spurrier, I think, is undefeated. So maybe he found his calling.
Yeah, he's got the Orlando offense kicking. I feel like we're back in the mid-90s here.
All right, I was actually yesterday, Sunday, as we record this late Monday afternoon. I don't know when we're posting this. It could be today. It might be Tuesday.
Oh, it will be. It'll be later on Monday.
All right. I was at the Atlanta United game on Sunday with the fam.
Are you as disappointed as the other diehard Atlanta United fans?
Look, I will say this. What I saw was a 1-0 shutout because trying to get back to Athens and beat the traffic, we took off with about 10 minutes left. And then we did hear as we're walking away that there was a goal scored.
Not happy with De Boer.
Here's what people don't even know what you're talking about when you say De Boer.
I believe that's the Atlanta United coach.
Well, here's the thing, though. So you walk back to the car from Mercedes-Benz, and there's a Hawks game going on at the same time they're playing the Pelicans. Now, I didn't know this is a thing. Maybe it is, but like, we're getting people hawking tickets, not scalpers, like people in Atlanta Hawks, shirts saying this. We got $10 second half tickets on sale. Come in, watch. Who's the star in the Pelicans? What's his name?
Anthony Davis.
Yeah, so they're selling Pelicans.
They're not even selling the Hawks here.
Well, no, but a kind of a combination. But I didn't know there was a second half like ticket thing. Does Georgia do that? Like when they're playing Tennessee, or are they selling? I mean, I guess their games are sold out. Allegedly. Yeah. I say that because when we look at the attendance numbers, I wrote about this for basketball. Yeah. A 9,000 seat. Announced attendance is like 6,000. It's kind of par for the course in the industry. Anyway, I had stuff to do when I got back. But would I have, if I was like flying solo and was there, would I have gone to watch the second half? I haven't been to a Hawks game this year. Yeah, I probably wouldn't have.
Well, Trae Young has opened people's eyes lately, and then they got John Collins. who's playing well as well. So anyway, I might have ducked in to take a look.
Well, have you ever heard of that? A second half ticket?
No, but I think it was might have been a one time thing where they saw the chance to make a few extra bucks, so they were like, you know, and maybe some people come in and, you know, support the local team. I doubt it happened.
All right, you can't buy tickets to see Georgia practice in the spring, except in the last practice, which is G-Day, and you don't have to buy them; they're free. Mm-hmm. You can go there. I don't know. Kirby hasn't called yet for the sellout or the capacity crowd. I guess that'll be something he might do. But we will podcast next week, I imagine, dive more into the nuts and bolts of spring practice. We'll just touch on some Georgia football along with some other stuff coming up during this podcast. Kirby Smart spoke before an event in Columbus last week. I think that was Tuesday. He's a charity event that he spoke for. And he did mention in a radio interview with Buck Ballew, who is part of the 680 The Fan, the official sports talk station of your Georgia Bulldogs. I say that because we haven't had a chance to talk to Kirby since the Sugar Bowl. But he did, and Kirby told him he had a reinvigorated feeling about these new coordinators, Dan Lanning on defense and James Coley on offense. He also said the media was making too much of those openings and how he filled them. Ryan, do you agree? Is it much ado about nothing?
Yes, in a sense, but I mean, you know, when he also hadn't talked to us about anything, you know, we're trying to find any type of nuggets to get out there about the new coordinators. So, you know, I guess if it was from out of house, then I guess it would be a little bit bigger deal. But those are two guys that have been within the system and the program and all. So, but no, I mean, I think they should give us something. You know, have a little press conference, something, just talk about them a little bit. But that didn't happen. So,
all right, we'll be able to ask Kirby on Tuesday next week.
Maybe.
I'm presuming that they'll do something like it around lunchtime, maybe. Or maybe not. Maybe it'll be after practice. I don't know what the deal is going to be. We'll find out soon enough. But no, I disagree. I think it is a big deal when you lose both coordinators and you have to fill them, whether you take them, you know, someone on staff or you bring someone in. You are Georgia, and you are one finish away against Alabama from returning to the playoff for a second straight year. So it's a big deal when you lose Chaney, whether you wanted him, didn't, you know, try to outbid Tennessee. See for him or not. Look, at Georgia, when you have an assistant trainer that is new, it's a big deal. People care everything about Georgia football, including especially what's going on with the coordinators. Now, Kentucky's Eddie Gran, who reportedly from, I think it was Kentucky Sports Radio, had the first report that he was offered the same position at Georgia after Chaney left. He was asked, looks like Kentucky makes their coordinators available. I don't expect that's going to happen until August here at Georgia. He said that he was asked, basically, did Georgia make a serious run at him to be an offensive coordinator? And he said, well, they were serious to the point that they offered him the job. So now, to me, I'm not really that into, you know, did he get offered the job? Was it to be co-offensive coordinator? And I don't expect Kirby will clarify this at all, next week. He's not going to lay out.
I don't even know if he can talk on it.
Of course he can talk on it. We're not talking about a recruit. This is another coach, another school.
Yeah.
He can talk on it. He won't talk on it. That's just not the way it works. I mean, and, you know, what exactly is an offer anyway? Like, you know, most of the time it's like, okay, we'll offer you the job if we know you're going to accept it type thing. Yeah. So, you know, would he have made them co-coordinators, Coley and Gran? You know, it's hard to know for sure. But I do know that I think twice the last 2 years when Georgia was about to play Kentucky, Kirby spoke publicly about how much he respects Eddie Gran. So it makes sense that he had interest in Eddie Gran, who's also known as a good recruiter. But you know what? I don't really care that much. Like, it's done. Coley's the coordinator. Let's move on. And, you know, unless someone's going to come out and kind of spell out what happened, I don't expect that's going to happen.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think anybody knows for sure what exactly happened, but I mean, that was the hot rumor there for a little while that he was, you know, up for the job, if not offered the job, and then apparently turned it down. And, you know, I don't know if that was, if Kentucky people were happy the way it might have turned out. They're happy to have him back, I'm sure, but, you know, might have just should have kept his mouth shut and not mentioned it at all because I'm sure Kirby can find a way to use that to the Bulldogs' advantage when Kentucky comes to Athens next year.
Are you kidding? Kentucky fans love it. They think Georgia wanted this guy, and
kind of like
we have him.
The Tennessee folks, I guess, when Chaney went up there, they went from hating the guy to all of a sudden loving the guy, I think all because he spurned Georgia.
You know, I don't actually think anyone hates Jim Chaney. I mean, he's like a really likable guy in that, you know.
As a play caller. Not a...
Oh, I don't know. Maybe.
You know, when he was at Tennessee a few years back.
No, they had a good offense.
Yeah, so did Georgia here, but you know how that went with fans.
Yeah.
So.
All right. Anyway, what was I saying? Oh, so speaking of Jim Chaney, this was kind of bounced around when he left. You know, it was presumed that he was finishing out his contract because he had a 3-year deal. It never came out previously that Georgia had extended Jim Chaney. Now, Georgia did end up telling us like a day or two later when we inquired that they had extended him, but I never reported it, and I know some other reporters that didn't either. Do you know why?
Why is that?
Well, because we hadn't seen the documents, and we didn't know if Georgia was providing good information. You know, it was, they were a little bit wishy-washy about it, truthfully. And, you know, it turned out through an open records request that we found out that, yes, they indeed had given him a 2-year extension. It just was never announced, and there was no raise in there. So maybe that's why they didn't. I mean, it, you know, it would be kind of obvious if you're like, hey, we want to announce that Jim Chaney's given a 2-year extension. Next question is, okay, what's he getting paid? Oh, the same price. Would something wrong with him? Why are you not giving him a raise? So they didn't, and turned out that that contract was executed, according to Georgia, on December 5th, which I guess was a couple days after the SEC championship game or a few days later. So no raise, and then, you know, Georgia obviously chose not to go up to $1.5, $1.6 million with him. He was about $950 at Georgia. All right, next week's going to be crazy busy. We got a practice Tuesday for Georgia, the first one. And then I believe it'll be Thursday, Saturday type deal. Probably every week for the next, what would be, 5 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And then a pro day on Wednesday for, I guess there were 9 guys at the combine. There'll probably be 14, 15 maybe. I don't know. There's usually somebody that shows up that you don't remember, like a former Bulldog that got shown the door and had to go elsewhere and comes back. I mean, I don't know who that might be this time.
Can't think off the top of my
head. But I mean, there's enough walk-ons that you know, will go out there and someone will run a fast 40 and you're like, whoa.
Who was that guy? Why didn't he play more?
Yeah. So NFL Combine, what were your impressions, Ryan? I mean, Mecole Hardman, I think, had like the third fastest 40.
Yeah.
Isaac Nauta, pretty slow time for a tight end. Elijah Holyfield, I think, maybe was the second slowest for running backs. Riley really didn't like blow up there. He kind of underperformed a little bit for wide receiver. Terry Godwin was fine. Lamont Galliard, actually Godwin might have helped himself a little bit. Lamont Galliard didn't do anything in terms of on-field stuff. I guess he's saving it for pro day. Ledbetter was there as well. Anybody nosediving from this deal, you think?
Yes. Well, I mean, as far as the reports from there, we, you know, we weren't in Indianapolis, obviously, but Elijah Holyfield did nothing, you know, for his I mean, everybody knew that he was the thunder, I guess, to that, you know, back combo of Swift and Holyfield last year. But I think even, you know, to run a 4.8, basically, he did himself no favors. I think, you know, people were hoping that he could go there and put up 45, 225s or whatever on the bench press. And I mean, he did 26, which obviously is more than me and you could do, probably. But then, you know, I think people were hoping that if he was in the 4.6s, you know, that would open some eyes with his strength and power and all. But to run a 4.8, I'm sure a lot of teams kind of backed off from that. And, yeah, the same with Ridley. Though I was watching the coverage on NFL Network, and the guy kept saying that if he could run into 4.5s, that he'll be okay because of his route running is so precise and his hands are so good. But I think he was right at 4.59, you know, on his last run. And the guy kept saying that'll be fine for him. But I think things I read from the AP that was there, they said that he could have been a little bit faster and might have helped him. So, you know, they had him about in the mid-first round or late first round, I guess, in mock drafts, and I don't know that he's going to stay there anymore. And the same with Elijah, was shooting up through the draft, the mock drafts, but I think they pretty much dropped him out now too. But, yeah, maybe Terry did something good. I think Mecole, you know, with his blazing speed, he'll go somewhere fairly high just because of the potential he has with his speed.
All right, two things I just noticed as Ryan broke down the combine.
Yeah, man.
One is I think I left my bottle of water that I wanted to drink right now in my car. Second, Ryan, are those new red Nikes you're wearing?
They are, a couple months old. Had to buy some new running shoes. My toes were sticking out of my other ones, so it was time for some new ones, and they're actually freshly cleaned, so they look a little newer than they did days ago.
Wait, freshly cleaned? I need to know how you do that. Yeah.
Well, you have to wash them off in the sink, and then you Clorox wipe them.
Holy smokes! These are not just your average sneakers. These are Ryan's high performance sports.
And I probably would have run in the 4.9s since they're so fresh.
Gotcha. Hey, speaking of Ridley, I think he did have some kind of shoe apparel deal. I'm thinking it was Under Armour. I think he tweeted out. I think I saw Daniel Jeremiah today. Still had Riley Ridley in his top 60-ish type overall prospects. So I guess he's still good, at least in NFL Network's analyst's eyes. So anyway, the pro day coming up, as we mentioned, you'll have guys like Natrez Patrick that didn't make the combine. Who knows? Maybe a Jackson Harris, someone like that. If he's, although, you know, some guys just decide, hey, that's it, we're done.
Yeah.
So we don't know. We'll find out. We'll get that list. Does what Isaac Nauta and Elijah Holyfield did at the combine, does that mean that these underclassmen made a mistake leaving early?
Well, see, that's a tough question, isn't it? I mean, because, you know, as I'm watching Nauta and everybody saying, you know, he admitted that the letter he got back from the NFL said, yo, you know, go back to college, you're not ready yet. But all the top five, you know, positions that they scroll at the bottom of the screen, they kept having Nauta as either the three or four tight ends. So, you know, if somebody gets eager and needs a tight end in the third round or something and the other three are gone, you know, they might pull the trigger because he's obviously physically he looks like a pro tight end. So maybe not for him. And I think we've said it since Elijah decided to come out that, yeah, he probably, you know, did need another year in the pros, but I mean, he's obviously looking at why he got so much playing time this year was because Zamir White was injured, and Cook just didn't really fit in with him and Swift. So, you know, you look ahead to Georgia next year, he's probably thinking his touches were going to be limited, and coming off a big year, kind of wanted to cash in when he could, because he probably won't have those types of numbers again next year. So, you know, it's tough to say right now, but I think you know, it'll work out for both of them in some sort of way because of kind of how they were looking at, you know, what going forward at Georgia and what their stock is going into the draft. So I think they'll be all right.
Yeah, I don't know if Isaac Nauta would have run a faster 40 a year from now,
right,
or Elijah for that matter. I don't really begrudge them leaving early. Maybe they could still, you know, could have gotten another season under their belt and jumped up around something like that. But anyway, it's time to flip the page to the current and future Bulldogs. I wrote about N'Kobe Dean this week.
Yeah.
Or last week, I guess. Inside linebacker, early enrollee. I think there's like 14 of them. He was not in Athens late last week. Went to Washington, D.C. I think it was Arlington, Virginia, to be exact, where he won the Watkins Memorial Trophy, a award that goes to kind of a African-American athlete scholar. And Keith Marshall won it back in 2012. So that's a second Bulldog now with N'Kobe Dean winning it.
Yeah, that's impressive.
And look, Georgia's got so many good from this number two ranked recruiting class that I don't even know if Dean's gotten the, you know, he's probably overshadowed by some other guys even coming in on defense, with some of these pass rushers. So it'll be interesting. He'll be a guy to watch.
I was just going to say, with who they brought in last year, too, at linebacker, too, they're looking pretty good there.
Four-star quarterback commitment Carson Beck out of Jacksonville, Florida, committed to Georgia in the last week or so. Is he your starter in 2020, and does he stick? Because, you know, we're still we're not a year away. We're like December, right? So
yeah,
you got some time, and I think George is going to, you know, try to sign another quarterback for this cycle.
Right. Well, I mean, is Jake Fromm not your starter in 2020? Are you already putting him?
Well, I'm saying if he's gone.
No, I know. I think it's, you know, between him and Mathis, they're going to, you know, fight it out for that job if both are in camp. But, you know, with Mathis having a year under his belt, I think that would be your guy. But, yeah, you know how funny things are between now and signing day and even, you know, thereafter. It's like, the guy that looks like the guy now, it might be a five-star, you know, that's high top 10 type guy that all of a sudden chooses Georgia or flips to Georgia or something like that. So, you know, it's so hard to predict this far out, especially for the quarterback, as we all saw last year with Justin Fields. So, you know, that you know, you got one guy playing one position type of deal is always, and especially in nowadays NCAA, it's kind of tricky. But what do you see? Do you see him hanging around? Do you see Mathis being a guy that he would fight for the job with, or how's it looking?
Well, yeah, I mean, if Jake's not here, it's going to be Mathis. It's going to be Beck. And, you know, I mean, if you're Brad Johnson's son, who's a local kid.
That's true. Yeah, he's, Max. Huh?
Right, he's committed to LSU. But, I mean, if he has a chance to come to Georgia knowing that Jake's leaving, I don't know how that would necessarily get to him unless, you know, yeah. Coley and Kirby say, hey, we think he's gone.
Yeah.
I mean, we'll see if that changes.
There's also the kid at Prince Avenue that would be even a year later.
2021
you know?
Kid,
I mean,
yeah.
he might be the best of them all, to be honest with you.
Yeah, so Fromm and Andrew Thomas were up in Indianapolis at the NFL Combine. They have a symposium for, like, top rising junior prospects, I guess, identified by the NFL. ESPN.com, Adam Rittenberger had a story kind of talking about who were some of the guys up there. Tua was up there. So, you know, I wrote about Jake Fromm in terms of going into spring practice. You can check it out at Online Athens, I imagine, or go to my Twitter feed, find it from, I think it was a week ago Sunday, maybe. I don't know.
Sounds right.
That, you know, this is a rare spring for him. I mean, he comes in without having to fight tooth and nail between, you know, whether trying to beat out Jacob Eason, which didn't happen. Eason was the starter to start the game, but then Fromm obviously held on to the job after Eason's knee injury. And then you got Justin Fields last year getting all kinds of hype, and then, you know, Jake never relinquished that. You know, you saw the kind of the weird way that Georgia was finding ways to get Justin Fields into the game. And so Fromm's king of the mountain. He's the dude. And this is going to be a spring where you're not going to have anyone question whether he's your starting quarterback. And I, you know, I can't see a scenario in the fall where that happens either.
No, absolutely not. I mean, he's your guy. If he could beat out those guys, I think, you know, he needs a belt. Undisputed champion.
Look, is he a sure thing NFL guy after his junior year? I don't think he's a sure thing. I mean, Case Keenum is getting traded to Washington, reportedly. I mean, is Jake Fromm, can he be as good as Case Keenum?
Oh, yeah, better, I think. But, I mean, you know, it's funny. I was watching something the other day, and they were talking about next year's draft class with guys like so-and-so and Tua and Jake Fromm in it. It was almost like, I guess it was on the NFL Network during the Combine, and I guess they had already assumed that he was, you know, he's a surefire thing coming out next year, and I guess they think that if Drew Brees at his size can do what he's done, then they're picturing Jake Fromm to be in that same type of mold.
All right, I got a question for you. What's going on with this Georgia spring coaching clinic coming up? What's Kirby thinking? He's got Doug Peterson, the Eagles coach. That's good. I mean, you had the Patriots coach, Belichick. You had the Rams coach, Sean McVay, last year. So Doug Peterson, also Super Bowl pedigree, will be here. But so will Lane Kiffin.
Ooh.
Oof. And so will Greg Williams of Bounty Gate fame. He's now a defense coordinator for the Jets. Mm. I mean, what is that to get people to kind of sell tickets?
Just to liven up the event a little bit, yeah. Maybe they'll throw out all their confessions.
Now, Lane Kiffin's entertaining. I don't think Lane's called for anyone to take out the other team's quarterback's head or whatever that was. But now, Kiffin, I don't follow the NFL as much, but Greg Williams, I believe, was interim coach this year for the Browns before they went a different direction afterwards. So I don't know. Maybe we need to ask Nick Chubb kind of what he thought of working under Greg Williams this year.
Yeah, I have no right. I didn't know he was even still around, the Bounty Gate guy, to be quite honest with you. So you have broke news to me just now, to be
honest. All right, SEC basketball tournament is this week. It starts Wednesday, the men's tournament. Georgia, Missouri, 7 p.m. Eastern time. Ryan, you got a six-pack ready to go. Watch the game. I'll be courtside. Actually, I think I will be courtside because the SEC tournament, they actually do hook you up with some good seats, the media. They do put them on the court. It's not like at Georgia we're up in the corner. As we cover the games, you do get a different perspective, and especially the Wednesday game at 7 p.m. when you have Georgia and Missouri playing in Nashville, Tennessee, the place is going to be empty, and we're going to hear everything that these. If Crean is one at Derek Obeide about, you know, something fumbling the ball in the lane or something. I mean, we're going to hear it. If there's an F-bomb drop by you know, a player, you know, I'm not going to report it. But so it does liven up the atmosphere. Anyway, these last two games, I no other way to say it, they've been brutal for Georgia. The home loss to Missouri, the 20-point loss at South Carolina. And this was after they had a really nice stretch where they looked like they really were all in terms of, you know, going up against three or four NCAA tournament teams and pushing them to the limit, losing, I think it was 9 points for four games, and then beating Florida as well in there. And then what's happened since then?
It was almost like they, you know, they got that win that they had kept pounding the rock for, I think was his post-game, the Stonecutter's Credo was Tom Crean's post-game thing where they pounded the rock 100 times and then finally it split. But it was almost like once they beat Florida, they knew Rayshon was gone for the year, you know, with a broken foot. And I think they just kind of – I think they've 100% melted in now. It's like, you know, let's just make it to the end of the season, which will probably be this Wednesday. sad to say. But, yeah, it was just like we got our win. We proved that we could, you know, beat a good team. And so now, without one of their best players, it's like the season's over. Let's go ahead and get it done with. So it's kind of disappointing to see, I guess, that, you know, there was times when this team showed they had what it took to be a decent team, and then they'd always have that moment that they fell apart at some point. Even the, you know, the games against LSU, Auburn, and when they finally were able to beat Florida, it was like they, you know, had their bad moments and had to rally back. And, of course, the Mississippi State game where they – I can't remember if we've had a podcast since the Beanie Baby was thrown out of the
– Yeah, I think we did.
Okay, well, the you know, even that game, they got down by a lot and had to rally back. So, you know, maybe it's coming together, but I think they've definitely meddled in for this season.
All right, I will give them a little bit of latitude in that Rayshon Hammonds is not playing. And he's been kind of hot and cold. I mean, he's been – had some really nice games in terms of his scoring punch and pretty consistent free throw shooter and rebounder. But, I mean, he would disappear at certain halves of games. But, I mean, they are really, really missing him offensively. And they've had to pull Christian Harrison, at least they did this last game, from the starting lineup just because Missouri was not guarding him, basically, or, you know, just not respecting anything he could do away from the basket. And they shot 25% against Missouri, 26% against South Carolina. So we'll see. I mean, can they beat Missouri? I think so. Can they beat Missouri and Auburn? I don't think so. But hey, if they beat Missouri and Auburn, and then you have Kentucky and Tennessee on the other side of the bracket, could it be a miracle? Five wins in a row, and then we'll be booking a flight to I think South Carolina actually is hosting. We can maybe drive to Columbia.
You know, back in 08 when I was in school here and was actually in the dome.
But by the way, I don't really think that's in the cards.
In the tornado, hit, and I, you know, bravely set through the destruction of the Georgia Dome. That team wasn't this bad, and they still were a 14 seed. So I couldn't imagine if Georgia made a run through it. They might even be a 16 seed. Would that be possible? An SEC team as a 16 seed if Georgia would find their way through this tournament, which I don't see happening, but that would be interesting.
A 16 seed? No, you're not going to have a power conference.
I don't know. They were 14 seed in that 08 year, which seemed a little low for a conference champion.
Wait, so you're talking then if you win five games, you're going to be 16-20, and you're going to have beaten some good teams.
Look, yeah, I guess.
What a waste of time. Let's not talk about this.
Yeah, you're right.
Hey, I did have a chance to talk last week to Mark Fox, the former Georgia basketball coach. He was coaching the USA national team trying to get into the World Cup. They were pretty much using a bunch of G League guys, but was working with Coach Van Gundy, Jeff Van Gundy. He's been all over the place with this team, Argentina, Cuba. I wrote about it. Check out the story. But anyway, I guess the news of your item of that is that Fox wants to get back into coaching as a head coach, which is not a surprise. But you know, he kind of did a lot of. It was kind of what do you call that year if you go to you skip your freshman year and you take a year off?
Yeah, it's just a gap year. I
there
believe
you go. This is kind of a gap year, an one that was forced upon him when Georgia decided to go in a different direction. But he was at Xavier, I think he said, maybe. Or no, not Xavier, Louisville. He was at, spent some time, or talked to Mike Krzyzewski at least, was with the Celtics up there. What other colleges did I mention in that story?
I can't remember. I think you threw out Roy Williams, I think he talked to.
Yeah, he talked to.
I don't know if he was actually at North Carolina, but...
Anyway, he's been kind of, and he's done a lot of various jobs with the NBA in terms of, was with the Hawks, did a road trip with them, and did some pre-draft stuff. Anyway, he's been busy in the last year with basketball stuff without actually coaching college basketball, but and his son plays as a walk-on at Clemson. He wants to get back in, and his name has already been linked by Jeff Pozzello at ESPN if Washington State opens up, since Fox was an assistant at Washington and coached at Nevada, so he knows the West Coast area. Question for you. Do you think folks would take Mark Fox back right now at Georgia?
Nah, I think they're excited about the direction of the program. I mean, those players are who he left, as Tom Crean has told us, since he didn't kick them off the team. That was who he was left with. So.
Yep, 11-22-16. So, you know,
yeah.
I don't think Georgia would be 2-16 with Mark Fox. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I know what the point guard that went to Kentucky.
Ashton
Hagans said he would be at Georgia if Mark Fox. But let's presume.
It would be a different, yeah.
Presume that Calipari ended up getting him anyway. Even so, with the current roster, this is probably a 6-win team probably with Fox, because he'd do things a little differently. Maybe the style would suit this talent better. Mm-hmm. But you know what? It's fine. I mean, whether you win 6 games or you win 2 games, I mean, I guess it's tough to watch if you're a Georgia fan. But Anthony Edwards is coming to Georgia. You know, that'll become official in like 6 weeks, 5 weeks, mm-hmm. something like that. So if this is what you have to suffer through to get to that, I think Georgia fans will take it. You know, 9 years is more than enough to have a run.
Yeah.
And, you know, so obviously good luck to him in terms of landing somewhere else and getting a type of job, you know, does things the right way and, you know, never had to be suspended by a school like Will Wade.
Right. Oh, man. Yeah, that's a touchy subject down in Baton Rouge right now. But, yeah, he... That was the thing, I think, and we kind of talked about this a little bit. You know, everybody knows he's a great coach, but couldn't ever really get that maybe recruiting class. He got guys like KCP, you know, to come in and that type of stuff. But you know, and Rayshon, but he couldn't get a class maybe every year that he could put something really together, and had to rely on kind of fortunate breaks like Yonte turning out to be as good as he did to you know, and JJ Frazier obviously. So. I think Georgia fans have that hope that, you know, bring in a guy like Anthony Edwards with the other pieces that he's bringing in next year's class, that they could continually build off that and be good year after year.
Ryan, you were at the SEC Women's Tournament.
Yep.
Georgia got bounced first round by an Arkansas team that ended up going to the finals.
Yeah.
You wrote a very provocative column that will make you very unpopular among the Georgia women's basketball program. You said that they should go to the WNIT, even though Georgia doesn't do that. That's not what they do. They have banners for NCAAs. No, I kind of agree with you. I mean, I wasn't surprised that Jenny Taylor said that post game, that, you know, that's the expectation. That's fine. That could be your expectation. But I mean, Kentucky, I just thought of this. I should have told you this before you wrote your column.
Yeah, thanks.
Kentucky's won like lots of national championships, and if they go to Final Fours and don't win it, it's a disappointment. But guess what? Like 5-6 years ago, they went to Robert Morris in the NIT and lost first round.
Yeah.
I don't think there's much value. Like, I mean, Georgia did pretty poorly under Mark Fox in the NIT. They were like bounced in the second round. Mm-hmm. I mean, they should have made a run to Madison Square Garden probably on occasion. But you know what? Nobody really cares. Like, the players aren't into it. They didn't accept a bid last year to the NIT, but I do think there's value to a certain extent, and it can be something that you do on occasion, like once every 10 years.
Right. Well, you know, I was told a couple times that the WNIT is different from the men's NIT. I'm not quite sure how, but...
I think it's all on college campuses. I don't think there is anything in New York.
Well, that's okay, but I mean, still, my point being in that column I wrote was that, I mean, this is a team that needed the, you know, extra games. They're the youngest team in the SEC. They're sending off Kalia Robinson, one of the best players, you know, that the program's had. And that would have been a good way to send her off, maybe with some extra games and a few more wins. And maybe if they could have won the whole thing, I don't know. But, you know, with such a young team, I think it would have been good for them to go to the WNIT, even if it's viewed differently maybe in women's basketball.
All right, just to wrap up the women's basketball portion of the podcast, which we usually haven't talked too much about. That's two NCAA tournament trips in four seasons under Joni Taylor. I know she's got a couple of five-star recruits, I believe, for the next recruiting cycle. Yeah. Very popular coach, does a great job of representing the program, and so do her players, not hearing about any off-field issues or off-court issues for those players. What's the status report? I mean, the program made a change, or Andy Landers retired after a distinguished career, but you know they were kind of stuck in terms of not getting past the Sweet 16 and not even always getting that far. They did make an Elite Eight run towards the end of his career, but what's your thoughts? Where should this program be? Should they be? Do you think they should be an NCAA tournament team every year?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think that's the expectations. But I think the thing is that they, you know, there's so many girls around this area and even around Atlanta that keep turning Georgia down and going to the, say, UConn and stuff like that. And even something I noticed, you know, during pregame intros or whatever was a lot of Atlanta was for Mississippi State or for Tennessee or stuff like that. So got to start hitting on those girls and getting them here, especially the inside, because Georgia has a lot of talented athletes as you know, wing players and whatnot, but they seem to be lacking that one inside presence or two that just keeps turning Georgia down. They need to get them here. But I think that definitely they should be an NCAA tournament team every year. And, I mean, the expectations should be high for what they did. But that's been a while since they've been able to do that. But, you know, I think the expectations are Joni can get them back there. And, you know, they have had good recruiting classes. They just can't seem to get that that inside presence is what they've been lacking so desperately. And now they lose Kalia Robinson, who's about their best inside player for the past 4 years. So that's not going to help. So they need to figure out a way to try to put things together going forward to be a consistent, not even NCAA team, a consistent top Sweet 16 team. So,
all right, I mentioned that they've been representing the program well off the court.
Mm-hmm.
It's been actually a pretty quiet off season for the football program, or at least it was. I was actually thinking, this is what you do if you cover the team. You think about, well, it's been pretty quiet. You know, wonder what's going on. Like, has Kirby gotten his message out that he wants them to do things a certain way? But, you know, March rolls around, and there was an arrest. Latavius Brinney, the safety, had an incident outside a downtown bar, was charged with a misdemeanor. What was it called?
Simple battery or slapping?
Yeah, he was, according to the police, he was bothering some females, or at least they alleged, inside a bar that Ryan often frequents. What bar was that?
Yeah, I don't know, Silver Dollar?
That's right, Silver Dollar. And they took off outside and he followed them. And
trying to front, apparently.
Yeah, there was an incident with a male friend of theirs, and they alleged that Latavius, or he was charged, I guess, with slapping that gentleman. And so Kirby Smart said he's going to handle this internally. Pretty quick response about that. So presumably he'll be with the team when they practice next week. He did have an incident 2017 at a PetSmart, I believe. That might be Watkinsville. Is that Watkinsville? Bogart? I don't know.
Yeah, I think it's technically Watkinsville.
They said he passed a $100 bill that was fake, but you know what? That was dropped. So it became a non-issue because they could not identify for sure whether he was a responsible party. So, and then there was another incident that happened by a former Bulldog. Now, we usually, you know, we might let something like that go without reporting. But this was not, you know, this is a guy that's been in the news a good bit.
Well, he's still in school here.
Malcolm Parrish, the former Georgia defensive back, was arrested for having a gun in an open bag at Ramsey, where they're, you know, the swim centers there at the Gabrielson Auditorium. There's basketball intramurals, et cetera, workout space. Police said that Parrish yeah, had that open gun. I tried to get in touch with him for that story I wrote before the SEC championship game on the 2nd and 26 play, and did not have any luck getting him. And so then lo and behold, I knew he was a student at UGA, but did not could not get in touch with him. So Ryan, what's the lesson here? What do you do? I know you usually carry nunchucks with you.
Yeah. Well, it's not smart to take your loaded pistol to any part of campus, I wouldn't think, and especially in your book bag, and lay it down on the benches there to play some basketball with their bag wide open. So there's a good lesson going forward.
All right, there is the, you know, what, like a year old campus carry thing where it's legal, right, to do carry things.
You probably have to have a permit, be my guess. I'm not so
right,
sure.
Right, yeah. So in any event, you know, maybe he'll get hooked up with. I don't think Malcolm was even at Pro Day. He was speaking at Pro Day last year, so he must have made a decision then not to pursue any kind of trying to hook on with the pros at all. So,
well, you know, what, he broke his foot at the first last year, right?
Wasn't that? Yeah, but he played on. I mean, yeah. So good luck to him as he finishes up his studies at the University of Georgia. Last thing before we get out, I reported this week that Georgia's getting 5,000 tickets. So we got the game contract for the Texas series, which is like 2028, 2029, something like that. That's not many. That place seats 100,000.
Yeah.
So you're going to have a lot of Hook'em Horns and hardly any Sic'em Dogs, I heard. And now I say that, who knows what the secondary market's going to be back then or be then.
Yeah. If the game still happens 10 years from now.
Yeah, less than 10 years, but no, I guess it is. Well,
right,
the first one, yeah. Is it worth it to set up? I mean, part of the deal is like, oh, you remember Notre Dame when Georgia took over the stadium there? I mean, it doesn't sound like that's happening in Texas.
Yeah, I wouldn't think so. I mean, that's, you know, I don't know what the allotment is usually. Do you know what it's like at, like what Georgia would give other teams coming in here?
But, well, I mean, for the Texas series, that's what they're getting. It's back and forth. It's 5,000 each side.
Right.
Notre Dame, I'm feeling it was like 12,000. I don't know, but I can't remember what that was. Actually, that's coming up this year, right? So I'll have to revisit what that contract said. But it seemed to me a little bit smaller. I mean, I think Clemson was like 6,500-ish or 6,000.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I guess it's worth it. You know, even if the road game is not, you're not going to get many Georgia fans there. The fact is Texas is coming between the hedges, and instead of seeing, you know, Samford or someone like that, that fans aren't going to get excited about, you're going to have Texas there. So, you know, just stick around till 2029.
These far out, you know, way in the future, you know, series always crack me up, because no telling how different the programs would be, you know, if maybe Texas is all the way back and, you know, winning national championships again by then. Maybe Georgia has 300 or 400 under its belt. Who knows? But, you know, it's just funny to look that far into the future, I feel like.
I need to mention this before we get out. I know Ryan's big on the reality TV, because he will occasionally text me on that stupid show that he watches.
The Great English Bake Off?
No, the Masked Singer deal.
That'd be the only one I ever watched, and I didn't even see the last two episodes.
All right.
It was T-Pain, by the way.
American Idol was on in my house last night, and there's some contestant from Mecole Hardman's town.
Elberton, huh?
Elberton, yeah, country singer. It's actually pretty good.
I used to work up in Elberton.
Yeah. I think it was a redhead dude.
Sweet.
Pretty good singer, and he's going to Hollywood, so I need to ask Mecole Hardman at Pro Day if he knows the guy.
Maybe so. How old was he about that age? I bet they might.
A little, probably in his early 20s, but I think he has played at some of the clubs around Athens.
What was the Mark Weiser approval rating? Did you like it? Did you enjoy it? Was it good?
I was not really actively watching it. It was kind of on in the room as I walked by. He was good. No, he was good.
I did see that one girl sing the other day.
Told you he likes reality TV.
It made its rounds on social media. And I believe she was Korean. And she was incredible. Blew everybody away.
What was she saying? What was the genre?
I mean, it was like pop. It was. It might have even been a.
I did see that.
It was a cover.
Wait. She wasn't even American. Like, she came from overseas to do that.
I believe it was Korean. Yeah. And anyway, she did a former American Idol cover, something like that, of a former singer. And
all right, you can't get this on any podcast. I know you came here for Georgia Bulldogs talk.
Thanks for staying all the way to the end, guys.
Yeah, but you got this instead, so. All right, we'll talk to you guys as spring football heats up, and have a great week.
See ya.